Turn your tax refund into a new bathroom at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at WeightWatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
In June of 2020, someone called Child Protective Services on the Frankie family. And it wasn't the first call. And it wouldn't be the last. Over the years, multiple reports were filed by viewers who watched eight passengers and saw things that didn't look right. A teenager sleeping on a beanbag for 7 months. A six-year-old denied lunch as punishment. Children being humiliated on camera. Their worst moments uploaded for millions to consume. CPS investigated. They visited the home and they interviewed the family. And they closed the case. 3 years later, two children will be found bound and starving in Jody Hildebrandt's house. The same family, the same mother, the same warning signs that have been reported and dismissed. This is part four of The Good Mother, and it's about the weight that witnesses carry when they see something wrong, try to get help, and watch the system fail. Love to get your thoughts in the comment section as we work our way through this. Maybe you've been in this position before. I'd love to get your thoughts. Substack and YouTube are the places to comment. The links, like I said, in the descriptions. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our reporting. The Frankie case isn't unique in this way. Systems fail all the time. Children fall through the cracks. Reports get filed and closed. Social workers are overworked, undertrained, and underfunded. The threshold for intervention is high, and the resources for follow-up are low. A lot of kids live in homes where something is wrong, and a lot of those kids never get help. But what makes the Frankie case different is the scale of visibility. Ruby wasn't hiding what she did. She uploaded it. She monetized it. She built a business around showing the world how she parented. And what she showed included things that looked to many viewers like abuse. People saw, they reported, they petitioned, they commented, and still for years, nothing changed. I mean, think about that for a second. You have years where these sort of things go on in households and nobody is aware. Nobody is seeing the torture, the tragedy, the abuse that goes on in some cities. This is being broadcast and still, yeah, what are you going to do? That's how she parents. Some cheered it on. A lot cheered it on. Ruby's family saw it too, and they even tried to intervene. Her parents, Chad and Jennifer Griffiths, submitted a statement to the court before Ruby's sentencing. Her brother, Bo Griffiths, submitted his own statement describing Connections as, by all definitions, a cult, and Jody Hildebrandt as a leader who demanded total control. Ruby's three sisters, Ellie Meckham, Julie Drew, and Bonnie Holing, all of them, also family vloggers, released a joint statement after the arrest. For the last 3 years, we've been quiet on the subject of our sister Ruby Frankie for the sake of her children, they wrote. Well, really, was it for the sake of maybe you should have spoken up earlier. For the sake of the children. Or was it more so for the sake of you? Behind the public scene, we have done everything to try and make sure the kids were safe. Did you? Everything. They did everything. And still the children ended up bound and starving. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you didn't quite do everything. I'm going to say you didn't start speaking up until it became opportune, until you knew that the public perception of your voice wasn't going to harm your content. That's my opinion. If we're going to be truly intellectually honest about what's going on here. Now, it wasn't your necessarily fight to engage in. These weren't your kids. They were your nieces and nephews, though. So maybe it was. Maybe speaking up a little sooner might have been more helpful. But again, at the end of the day, the power is in the hands of Ruby. I don't know, maybe a little public shaming earlier on might have helped. But what do you do? Hindsight's 2020, right? I want to talk about what it feels like to be a witness who can't get anyone to listen. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you saw something wrong in a family, abuse, neglect, and a child being harmed, and you reported it. You called a hotline. You talked to a teacher. You told someone in authority, and then nothing happened, which is quite often what happens. The case was closed. The family kept functioning. The child stayed in the home, and you were left wondering whether you were wrong, whether you overreacted, whether you should have pushed harder, done more, found another way. The doubt is corrosive. It makes you question your own perception, and it makes you wonder when things finally do go wrong, when the harm you saw becomes undeniable, whether you could have stopped it if you'd just been louder, more persistent, more credible. The Frankie case puts this in the starkest possible terms. Thousands of people saw the warning signs. Many of them reported what they saw. The system received the reports. The system investigated and decided the situation didn't meet the threshold for intervention. And then two children were tortured for months. The question I keep coming back to is this. What is the system for if not this? CPS exists to protect children who are being harmed. The whole point of mandatory reporting, hotlines, and investigations is to catch situations before they escalate, to intervene when the child is in danger. But the Frankie case shows us just how high that bar actually is. A parent can film herself denying food to a six-year-old as punishment, and that's not enough. A parent can document taking away a teenager's bed for 7 months, and that's not enough. A parent can threaten to cancel Christmas for children who are too numb to respond to lesser punishments, broadcast it to millions, and CPS will visit, evaluate, and close the case. The reality is, that house is Disneyland compared to some of the more extreme cases they deal with, and that's just reality. Not saying it's right, I'm saying it's reality. Because even those cases that are 10 times worse than what was going on in the Frankie household, they still get the, okay. Well, there's shelter. They're not being rained on when they sleep. And it looks like there's remnants of food over here. I guess you're good. The bar to keep children is lower than to keep pets. The threshold is physical evidence of severe harm, bruises, fractures, starvation visible in the child's body. By the time that evidence exists, the damage is already catastrophic. And that seems to be the only time action is ever taken. It's not while it's going on. And here's clearly the train coming down the tracks to exactly this. We have to wait till it goes off the rails, and then we can do something. All the warning signs, the patterns, the escalation, the documented cruelty don't count for much until someone ends up in a hospital or a grave. I don't have an easy answer for this. The truth is CPS is overwhelmed. The system is designed to handle the most extreme cases. Not even that. I mean, is it? Does the system sucks. The system is broken and is absolute shit. How about that? In theory, the system is designed to handle the most extreme cases. And there aren't enough resources to investigate every report thoroughly. It can't even handle the cases it has. Social workers make judgment calls based on limited information, limited time, and limited options for intervention. Oh, and its modality is always reunification. Put the kid back with the abuser because it's blood, right? And blood's stronger than anything else. This is how our system works. And the Frankie family was good at performing normalcy when it counted. They were educated, affluent, religious, well-connected. They knew what to say and how to say it. They presented well. The children, meanwhile, had been trained their whole lives to perform too, to be camera ready, to show the face the family wanted the world to see. By the time CPS showed up, the house probably looked fine. The children probably said what they'd been taught to say, and the investigator, with a caseload of dozens of other families and limited ability to dig deeper, probably decided this wasn't one of the ones that needed intervention. That's how it works. That's how children fall through the cracks. This wasn't a failure of strangers watching from a distance. Ruby's own family kind of tried to save her. Her parents, her siblings, her husband, all of them saw what was happening after Jody entered the picture. All of them tried to intervene. All of them were cut off. This is what coercive control does. It isolates the victim from everyone who might help. It turns the support system into the enemy. And the people who see what's happening are left on the outside watching someone they love disappear into something they can't reach. Kevin Franke was pushed out of his own home. Ruby's siblings were told they were living in deception. Her parents watched their daughter transform into something they didn't recognize. And they all chose to throw their hands up in the air and go, well, guess that's how she rolls. They're not guilty of what happened to those children, but I bet some of them carry guilt anyway. That's how it works. And maybe they should. When you see harm and can't stop it, you wonder forever what else you could have done. If you reported something and nothing happened, that doesn't mean you were wrong. The system failing doesn't mean you failed. You saw what you saw, and you tried to get help. I guess the lesson here is don't take the system's, yeah, we'll get on that, as an answer. You got to be more persistent. You got to stand up for what's right. You got to fight for it. You got to want it. You can't just be taking what someone says, okay, you know, we're going to investigate that, and take that as the way that it's just going to go. But look, these people have been really kind of brainwashed their entire lives to be complacent and complicit with authority. That's what a church like LDS does to you. So you got to take that into consideration too. These folks have been brainwashed their life. Their modality is this. Well, trust them that things to do work out the way they should, right? And when they don't, well, the guilt you carry for not being able to save someone isn't always yours to carry. It belongs to the people who caused the harm and to the systems that were supposed to prevent it. But I want to say this. Keep seeing. Keep reporting, keep documenting, and don't take bullshit answers as gospel. Not because it always works. The Franke case proves it doesn't. But because sometimes it does. Sometimes a report is the thing that tips a case into intervention. If you have a platform and your sister is doing this shit, and you do truly care about your nieces and nephews, then start talking about it before the train goes off the rails. Sometimes a pattern of reports builds a file that eventually becomes undeniable. Sometimes the witness who speaks up is the reason a child gets out. You can't know in advance which report will matter, so you make it anyway. The Franke children are out now. Russell and Eve are recovering from physical and psychological trauma that will shape them forever. The four minor children, they're out too. Protected from public scrutiny for the first time in their lives. Sherry and Chad are processing publicly, writing memoirs, testifying to legislators, reading diaries on TikTok. They're building lives on their own terms, using the visibility they never chose for something that matters to them. And somewhere, the CPS workers who closed that case in 2020 are probably wondering what they missed, whether they could have done something differently. Whether they'll ever stop seeing those two children in their minds. That's the weight witnesses carry. The people who see and try to help and watch the system fail. Weigh in. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. Was I too harsh on the family? Or am I just being real? where we tried to do this, we tried to do that, and nothing happened, nothing worked. I get it. I get it to a certain extent. I do. Because the rights of people like Ruby, unfortunately, stay with people like Ruby. You can't just swoop in and take the kids. That would be kidnapping. But you knew something was very, very wrong. Did you do enough? There is responsibility that lies outside of the perpetrators. There is. It's not just a let's wash ourselves clean of this because the system sucks. And the people who are falling victim to these perpetrators, they need you. And they need your voice. So if you're in a situation where you are seeing something and you're saying something and nothing is happening, do more. Don't step back. Your thoughts in the comment section, like I said, on YouTube. We'll continue the conversation there. One more part in the series. It's coming. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.